Our friends are going to have a little chat. There's a gentleman well known in Sudbury and Coppercliff and throughout Northern Ontario. His name is Vern Tupling. And Vern retired some 2 years ago. What were you doing when you retired here?
I was with the Industrial Relations and Personnel in the Employment Office.
And I believe you were with the Inco Club for a while, too, or
yes,
a considerable time, Vern.
28 years.
28 years is, I would say, a considerable time.
Yes.
Vern, I know that you've got a fine story to tell, and we want to start at the beginning. You'd be born in where and about what year?
In Toronto, 1908.
And what part of the did you live in?
The Oakwood Sinclair district.
And did you go to school there?
The Oakwood Collegiate.
Now, before we get on with the Oakwood Collegiate, I believe your father, what sort of work did he do?
Well, he was a cabinet maker the last several years. Previous to that, he had worked in the bush and been a blacksmith and came from a farming community in Southampton.
How would he learn how to be a cabinet maker?
Well, he never did tell me. And I guess just a general working around, and finally, that's what he settled into.
Well, now, Vern, I gather then you, seems to me that when you were going to public school, we're talking back around... What, around 1914 or 15, that you played a little bit soccer football at the time, and that you went, or that you recently met somebody, or some time ago in this area, who had gone to school with you there.
Bill Woodliffe. This was a few years ago, and it turned out that he had gone to the same public school as I had, Earls Court Public School in Toronto. I hadn't known him then, and I doubt if he knew me, but soccer being the only game played in public schools then, anyone that played, I guess they were known to the other students. And Bill mentioned that when we came to Sudbury, and we became very good friends.
Is Mr. Woodliffe, or Magistrate Woodliffe, still around?
He's retired. I don't believe he is living in Sudbury now. Now I could take a rain check on that.
Well, now, Vern, I believe that when you get on to high school... in the Oakwood St. Clair area, that you played a little bit of football, is that right?
Yes, I played football. It was called rugby then. That was the old days of $2 and a kick.
Now, what position did you play?
Well, I was a kicker, one of the few left-footed kickers, and I played what they call safety today, back on receiving punts.
Were there any players, are these names of players that you played with that we might recognize now?
Well, there was Ross Robertson, Buck Billings, George Reed, that went on to play with Balmy Beach. Wes Cutler went on to be, I think, one of the greatest outside wings at that time with Argos.
And I also believe that you were a kicker, but that you came up against a pretty good kicker in the playoffs.
Yes, a fellow by the name of Huck Welsh, who played for the Delta Collegiate in Hamilton. He could stand back to receive his punts, and by the time it came down, the whole Hamilton team was lined up around you, and you couldn't see anything but their sweaters.
You think sort of good kickers are born and not made, or what would make Welsh so good? Many people tell me he's probably the greatest to have ever kicked the ball in Canadian football. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yes, I would. He and possibly Lionel Conacher. Lionel Conacher had tremendous power, but Welsh, I believe, was still more consistent. I think they answer a little bit of both. It's a natural ability and then practice.
Well, now, Vern, we saw the Grey Cup here not too long ago. I think you've got some opinions about the way they're playing football now as compared to, you told me before the broadcast, the way they played in your time and even the way the Americans played. Is that true?
Well, I don't like this straight arm across the face that I've seen two or three times this year. So football is supposed to be a scientific game. It's rough and tough, but there's a lot of what they call unnecessary roughness. I don't think sometimes enough of it is called.
Well, I think the one you're talking about, I saw the Grey Cup game, as many of our listeners did. I think it was at the time that It was Campbell clotheslined Wilkinson? Is that the one?
That's the one, yes, at the start of the game. And I've seen that two or three times. They could knock every quarterback out of the game, and how are they going to have a football game?
True enough. Now, I think, too, Vernon, you speak from you've played with and against the best, that a little bit of the piling on doesn't appeal to you too much.
Not too much, no. If a man's tackled and he's down, why go out and injure him? Next year you might be traded and you're playing with the same, you're supposed to be playing with the same man. But that doesn't make sense.
I think there was a fair amount of piling on in that Grey Cup game.
A little too much, yes. Well, a man can't stop if he's charging in to make a tackle. There are lots of times they can't stop, but I've noticed, particularly in the American game, they'll jump over a man many times where they could be piling on, as we noticed in the Grey Cup game.
All right, Vern, after you finished high school, which would be in the late 1920s, then what happened?
Well, I started working for an insurance company in Toronto for a short time. And because I could play a little bit of hockey, I had an offer to go with Northern Electric.
If you played with Northern Electric, Quarry, what kind of league?
In the Mercantile League, what they used to call the Blood and Thunder in Toronto. Maybe some old-timers will remember that one.
Right. And how long were you with Northern Electric?
Just the 1 year.
And then what happened after that?
I had an offer to go to Haileybury and play up there, so that was in 1928. I spent a year up there.
Oh, now that's interesting. Haileybury is well known to people in this area. Any other hockey players who became prominent since that time that
well,
played with you
yes.
and against you then?
Baldy Northcott, who went on to Montreal Maroons for 10 years, was playing with Haileybury. Dave Kerr and Stu Evans with the Iroquois Falls, Dr. Lou Hudson in South Porcupine, and our own Bill Regan was in Kirkland Lake.
Do you think Bill is might be listening to this broadcast?
I hope he is.
Would you like to say hello to Bill or something, make some comment about his hockey ability?
Well, his hockey ability was pretty good. We had played together against each other in Toronto, and then we ended up playing with each other here in Haileybury. In the meantime, I used to see him in New York when he was with New York Rangers, and I was with Atlantic City.
Well, then, how long were you with Haileybury, Vern?
Well, just the 1 year.
And then what happened after that?
I went back to Toronto. And again, I played in the Mercantile League there for Eaton's and then City Service.
Now, we're talking about the 1931 or 32. The way to keep eating was to be a hockey player.
If you didn't have any other particular ability, very definitely.
And I take it also that you played some amateur hockey then in about that time.
Oh, yes. Well, this was all amateur hockey.
I understand. No. Theoretically amateur hockey.
Oh, very definitely. Theoretically. Oh, we had to keep an amateur card.
You went south, though, to the States.
Yes, I went down to Atlantic City then for 3 years.
What kind of a deal did you get at Atlantic City? Can you tell us now?
Well, at that time, I think it was a very good one. It was $50 a week plus room and board. And all your traveling expenses, everything was paid by the club, of course. And at the same time in Toronto, working 12 months... a year, I couldn't have made as much money as I was making in Atlantic City. As a matter of fact, the firm folded shortly after I went down there.
Well, then, you were with Atlantic City then for a couple of years. Then I believe you came back north again, is that
back
right?
Back to Sudbury, yeah.
What year are we talking about now?
1935.
You played a little hockey when you came back here?
Oh, yes, that was still my bread and butter. I played hockey, I could get a job.
Who did you play with when you came back?
I played with Refinery for 2 years and then with Creighton for 2 years.
Any hockey players that we might remember that were up playing around about that time up here?
Well, in the on the Fruit Tigers in particular, Bingo Campman, Don Grosso, Mel Hill, Murph Chamberlain, all went on to play and star in professional hockey.
Martin, those are going to bring back lots of memories to
all. Oh, yes, there are a lot of those hockey players that played at that time are still in the district. Bill Regan, for one.
Yes, and you mentioned him earlier. Well, now, so you played hockey for a time, then I think you turned out to have a little trouble, a little hip trouble or something like that.
Well,
and you had another job here.
Yes,
so?
I was working underground at Creighton, and my hip began to bother me a bit, so I asked for a transfer, and they were good enough to transfer me. I ended up at the Inco Club.
And that was quite a few years ago,
yes,
I believe.
There for 28 years.
Well, nothing like a permanent...
Well, that was very permanent.
Now, tell us something about the... I gather the Inco Club is not quite what it was in those earlier days. Tell us something about the early days of the Inco Club.
Well, in the early days, it was busy from 9 in the morning till 11 or 12 or 1 o'clock at night. At bowling, we could have used twice as many alleys. Billiards were strong. Badminton, dances, basketball, wrestling and boxing, oh, and many other things, card parties. It's hard to remember everything. I know it was a really going concern. It was the club in Sudbury, the place for recreation.
I guess right now, this is just my own opinion, but I guess television and things like that have changed a lot of those
things. Oh, yes, there's no doubt about it. I think television and... when they started, people started to move out to the suburbs. That seemed to be the beginning of the downfall of the club.
Of the club as it existed in those
days,
eh?
People had other things, too many other things to do.
I think that you brought some name dance bands up to Sudbury to the old Inco Club then.
Oh, yes. Mark Kenny was a regular fixture for several years. He'd come up once, sometimes twice a year. Norman Harris, Romanelli, Joe DeCourcy.
There were
others, but it's hard to recall all of them. But those were some of the best.
And Lou, before the broadcast, you told us a little story about Lou Skoos. Now, what was that story?
Oh, yes. He was up for what they call the Ryan Safety Award. And he was a great cartoonist from Toronto. I believe he was with the Toronto Star. And it happened, he lived across the street from me on Oakwood Avenue. Anyway, he was doing some sketching at the club in the afternoon, and my son and daughter happened to come in. They were quite young, and he did a couple of cartoons for them, and they were very, very proud of those.
This is Lou Skoos, the Goose, as I recall.
Signing it with Skoos's Goose.
We have not asked you so far, Vern. Have you got yourself married by this time?
Oh, yes, I was married in 1934.
And then came up to Sudbury in 35.
35, yes.
Have you got any family?
Yes, I have three children, two daughters, one son.
Where are they now, and what are they doing?
Well, one daughter is in living in Carlton Place. She has three children. My other daughter is married, living in Sudbury, and my son is in Sudbury. He's with the CIL and the Explosives Division.
Well, now, Vern, a couple of subjects I'd like to talk about with you. Let's tennis, for instance. I gather that... you played a good deal of tennis, that you won a junior championship one year. Is that true?
Oh, yes. I think tennis, as far as sports are concerned, is my first love. And well, I guess I started playing when I was about 12 years old. And I won the Canadian Junior Championship in 1926. And a few other championships.
Very good. Now, did you play some tennis around Sudbury here, too?
Oh, yes, I played a lot of tennis up here. We used to have a great deal of fun. As a matter of fact, Gar Green and myself played doubles for a few years together, and I think we're still unbeaten.
Vern, if you get a challenge by somebody listening, it just could be my fault.
Well,
I'm asking you that question.
Well, they have to be our age.
Vern, let's talk tennis for a minute. Now, tennis has been a great interest of yours most of your life. If you were to pick the all-time great tennis player, who would it be?
Well, it'd have to be Bill Tilden. I can't see... It's awfully hard to compare generations, but I have seen a lot of tennis. In fact, I saw the pros play in Toronto just last year. And to me, Tilden is still the perfect tennis player. He had so complete control of every stroke. I still think he is the number one man.
Well, I've heard of Tilden. I ever saw him play as having a big serve, a number one cannonball serve. But you think how would he have done against Labor and some of the boys that we have now, you know?
I think he would beat them. I wouldn't say he would brush them off the court by any means, but I think his perfection would beat them. Labor is extremely fast, but Tilden, about twice as tall as Labor, about three strides, could get from one side of the court to the other, and I still think that he would take them off.
All right, Vern, so much for tennis. Now, you've played hockey for and with some of the best. How does today's hockey, we all like to talk about the good old days and so on, but you've got some views on today's hockey and the hockey that used to be played.
Well, again, you're comparing generations, which is difficult. I think the stick handling and passing of the several years ago is better than today. There was not the shooting the puck into the corner and scrambling. When a man scored a goal in those days, you knew who scored it. You didn't have to wait for the announcer.
Well, now I'm going to give you a little argument here, Vern, if I like, just to keep things alive here. They claim that the Russians were great stick handlers, but they were defeated by Canadians who shot the puck in the corner and scrambled. Now, what would you say to that?
I think the Russians were great stick handlers and great team players, but they were not the individuals. I think as team play, I think they outplayed the Canadians. And after all, it's supposed to be a Canadian game. And one goal.
One goal in
too much. Yeah. it isn't too much. I like the Russians very much, their style of play. I thought their passing, their skating.
The thing that I watched the Russians, and I wanted to talk to some knowledgeable hockey man about this, they seem to have one man standing in the crease there, just to the right of the goalkeeper. Am I right?
Well, I disagree with one word there.
Yeah?
He was never standing. The Russians were always on the move, and I think that was one of the big things. If a man moved out of a crease, another one moved in, someone else took up his position. They were always in position, but they were always moving. They were never standing still.
True enough. There always seemed to be somebody there to pick up that puck and then putting it past right.
And when they shot, they got their shot away and away very, very fast.
True. True. That's the first time I've heard that analysis of it. Now, Vern, pushing on, let's talk hockey a little bit more. You've seen him back to the days of Baldy Northcutt. Who's your number one pick all-time hockey player? Well, let's put it another way. Who's the best hockey player in the league now?
Oh, you have to go with Bobby Orr, although I do think that if Frank Mihaljevic would work as hard as Esposito, he could be number one. Henry Dunn might not agree with this, but I still think that Frank, if he could work like Esposito does, could be number one.
Well, we can't argue too much about that, eh? All right, now let's, Vern, to get some good arguments going, let's give me, very quickly give me our all-time all-star hockey team?
All-time all-star.
Asking you what?
Wow.
All right at you. All right, who do you like on right wing?
On right wing? I'd say possibly Charlie Conacher.
Oh, fair enough. Center?
Center. Well, that's a tough one.
give me a good one anyway.
A good one?
Yeah.
Well, how about Cowley? Bill Cowley.
Bill Cowley, yeah, well, bless your heart. I thought you were going to say Delaval or somebody like that.
Well,
Cowley,
I'm going back a little further than that again.
You're a knowledgeable hockey observer, Vern, if I may say so. All right. We've got a right wing here in the center. Let's get a left wing.
Oh, as a classical hockey player, I'd go with Harvey Jackson. Again, it's going back again. It's comparing generations. But Gordie Howe, you can't eliminate Gordie Howe, no.
All right, but since we've gone this far, we better have a couple of defensemen now.
Well, there's one that I don't think many will remember by the name of Dunk Monroe, that played for Montreal Maroons, who I always thought was one of the best. Number two, I'd take two there, is Ching Johnson from the old New York Rangers and Bobby Orr.
You are going to get arguments.
I am.
You're going to get phone calls.
A lot of people aren't going to agree with me, I know.
but not for me. Now, now that we've got hockey and tennis pretty well taken care of, Vern, I gather that you've got a new hobby going, stamp collecting.
Yes, spend a lot of time in stamp collection now. I find it a great hobby when you're home, you get tired of reading, tired of watching TV. It's something you can work on, and, it's indefinitely.
Now, what got you started in collecting stamps?
Oh, I think when I got into my mother's trunk when I was about 10 years old and found some old letters there, and possibly someone else then was collecting stamps, so I started fooling around with them then. Since then, my daughter started collecting. I helped her. And finally, all the old stamps ended up with me, so I decided to put them all together and got very interested in the hobby.
Well, now again, Brian, just before the broadcast, you told us about an interesting incident involving a very special stamp that you came across.
Yes, this is. About a month ago, at a stamp club meeting, in the books of stamps that come around for sale, there was a special cancellation. It was dated August 1924 on the circular postmark, and the cancellation slogan was the Broadview Boys Fall Fair in Toronto. Now, I got quite a thrill when I saw it, because the first tennis tournament I ever won was in 1924 at the Broadview Boys Fall Fair in Toronto. I still have the little trophy at home with the slogan is now on it, and I got a real thrill. I think it's the most prized stamp in my collection.
Very one thing we haven't talked about, are you, you belong to any service clubs or anything like that in town?
Yes, at the present time, I'm a member of the Shrine Club. I am a past president of the Cedric Kiwanis Club.
The Shrine, we know, and the Kiwanis do a lot of good work, so I don't know just when this will get on the air. You had something you wanted to mention,
eh? Well, if it's on before Christmas, we sell the best Christmas cakes in the city, and it helps crippled children. That is our main work. We have hospitals all over the country, and every cent that we make out of the Christmas cakes goes to these crippled children in the hospitals. They might be your child, they might be mine.
Where are these cakes available?
They're available from any Shriner. Just give me a call and I'll sell you all you want to buy.
Well, that's all. You get a call, but are they also, are they in any stores or any place around town?
No, just from the Shriners.
In other words, if you want to help a crippled child
and eat the best Christmas cake that you can buy in Sudbury,
then you give a call to Vern Tupling or any Shriner.
That's right.
Would you care to give us your phone number, Vern?
Yes, 675-8851.
Let's get that a 675-8851.
Right.
Vern, you may get a call from some people who don't agree with your hockey selections, and if they phone you up about that, you tell them to buy a Christmas cake.
Buy a Christmas cake.
Then
you can't fight over the phone. That's right. I'll change my opinion if they buy a Christmas cake.
Right. Now, one other thing, Vern. It would seem to be that retirement seems to be working out pretty well.
Oh, yes.
Got your feet wet, as it were. Now, what are your views on retirement?
Well, as long as a person can keep active, as long as they're physically able, I think they should. And also, some kind of a hobby. I collect stamps. Other people have other things. But as long as they can keep active and keep occupied, I think that they can enjoy retirement just as well as I do.